John and chapter 21. John 21. And the title of the message this morning is, What is That to Thee? John chapter 21. And I'll read verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. So John chapter 21 and verse 15 through to verse 25. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do praise and bless you for the reading of your word. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, this is just not another book. This is the very word of God, and thy word is truth. And Father, I pray as we look into this passage this morning, Lord, that you would grant to us, Lord, eyes to see, ears to hear that which the Spirit of God would have for each one of us. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, and Lord, the result of our meeting together, Lord, would bring glory and honour to your name. And Lord, it would mean that from this day, Lord, we're walking a little closer to you and loving you a little more and serving a little more. Father, we just look to what you're going to do in our midst now, and we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. In those opening verses in this chapter, which we didn't read this morning, Peter and some of the other disciples had gone fishing, and the Lord Jesus was there by the shore, and he already had some food ready for them. And they came in, and they then brought the fish in that they'd caught. And the Bible says there in verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. It's amazing to me when you read the scriptures how people can come up with the conclusion, the idea that the Lord Jesus never rose physically and bodily from the dead. And it's declared time and time again in the scriptures. I guess the reason, perhaps if no other reason, is that the devil doesn't want people to believe that, because if you believe that in your heart, then you're saved. And the devil doesn't want people to get saved. And so we have all sorts of lies and false teachings about the resurrection. But the fact is the Lord Jesus died on the cross, as we've looked at in the Lord's Supper this morning, and shed his blood, and he died. But then on that third day he rose physically and bodily from the grave. And God showed himself that he was well pleased with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for our sins. And now, as the Bible says, this was the third time that the Lord had showed himself to the disciples after he was arisen from the dead. And so they're having the meal together, and then the Bible says in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? All right, they've sat down, they've enjoyed the meal together, and now the Lord Jesus challenges Peter. And we've seen this passage, I guess, and we've heard of it many times, and we know the Lord Jesus is dealing with Simon here in a public way earlier, before the cross, and Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times. And yet he'd said, I won't deny him, I'll die first. But he did, as the Lord Jesus said that he would. But he did say also that he'd prayed for him, that his faith would fail not. And so now the Lord Jesus has already appeared to Peter, and so there's been some private restoration, but now it's going to be public. And so he asks him that question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I guess he's looking at the other disciples are there and saying, well, Peter, do you love me more than these? You said before the cross that you wouldn't deny me, even though everybody else would deny you. I'm not going to deny you. Now we'll use that same sort of thought. Do you love me more than these? You said you would stand by me more than these would. Now do you love me more than these? And Peter says, well, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Yeah, I do, Lord. Yeah, I do. Well, he says, go and feed my lambs. And we would have thought, oh, that's good. It's all settled now. No. The Lord's going to ask him a couple more times. I think it matches up with the three denials. Peter's given the chance to three times say publicly, I love the Lord. Before he denied him, said he didn't know him. And so he says to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So he saith unto him, we'll feed my sheep. I've got a ministry for you. I've got a work for you to do. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. And then the third time he saith unto him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he'd said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? I would suggest that Peter probably at that point reflected back and thought, yeah, right. I denied the Lord three times. And yeah, right. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord didn't say, no, you don't, or even question it. No, I believe he was making this public restoration for Peter, the one who denied him three times. Now he has the opportunity to say publicly, I love the Lord. I do love him. Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. He says, now you go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my sheep. I've got a work for you to do, Peter. It's all good. Let's get on with things now. We've established our relationship now. We've got it all sorted now. You go out and feed my sheep. He says, because verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest with thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest not. He's giving Peter some indication of what's going to happen down the track. He's going to die for the Lord one day, his testimony for the Lord. We understand, I've read that they suggest that that Peter was actually crucified upside down because he thought he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same manner the Lord Jesus was, be that as it may. But this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Come on, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? You remember back to the supper, and the Lord said, someone here is going to betray me. And John it was who was leaning on his breast at the time, and which one is it, Lord? Who's going to do it? And some said, is it me? And there was some discussion, and the Lord Jesus made it clear that it was Judas who was going to betray him. But notice what it says, Peter turning about seeth the disciple, this is John, verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And the Lord Jesus just told him, now listen, Peter, follow me, okay? I understand now that you love me. We've established that. It's all good. Now I've got a work for you to do. Follow me. Follow me. And what does Peter do? He starts looking around. Peter, you're supposed to be following the Lord. He starts looking around and he sees John. And says, Lord, what shall this man do? Lord, what's this man going to do? Well, the Lord Jesus replies, doesn't he? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I think it's almost like this. Peter, mind your own business. You do what I've asked you to do. Don't worry about John. John and I have got something happening as well. But you don't have to worry about John. You just worry about following me. And that's the thought this morning. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What happens? Peter takes his eyes off the Lord and puts his eyes on John. Was it wrong to look at John? Not necessarily so. But it's the thoughts that were going through his mind that obviously were wrong. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus wouldn't have to rebuke him. Amen. You say, what's wrong with him looking at John? Nothing. He's a fellow disciple. He and Peter, James and John, they were the three top disciples, as it were. They were good friends, good mates, we would say, all of that. But for whatever reason, Peter, now he looks across at John. What's going to happen with him, Lord? He says, mind your own business. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And, you know, just some thoughts about that. We have to be careful. We have to be careful who and what we look at, amen? And why we look at them. And why we look at it. What's our thinking process? Why? What was Peter thinking about? We don't know exactly what he was thinking about. But again, as I've already said, I would suggest what he was thinking probably wasn't a good thought. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have had to rebuke him and said, mind your own business, follow me. But you and I need to be careful at how we look at other people and the thoughts we have about them. It's very easy to be able to look at someone in a wrong way. Look at them in a way which is we come up with the wrong conclusion, and then we start saying things which are not right. We have to be careful about that. Yeah, but what about them? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, as we see as we go along, there is a balance. There is a balance. If there's a brother in need, then we need to be able to help them. If there's a sister in need, we need to be able to help her. There is a balance there. But in the Christian life, one of the things I've observed over the years, it's like a pendulum. And oftentimes the pendulum swings too far either to the right or to the left. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, well, you know, we just love everybody. the pendulum comes out here, and we compromise and we couldn't care less basically what people are doing. But then we can go out the other side, and we're God, and we judge everybody according to our judgments. And that, the pendulum's gone too far out the other side now. We need to be like our Lord Jesus. The Bible says he was what? Full of grace and truth. He didn't neglect truth. He didn't compromise even a fraction. Didn't compromise a fraction. But he wasn't condemning on the other side either. He was full of grace and truth. And you and I need to be careful sometimes. I've said to my wife many, many times over the years, I'm an absolute expert at picking up everybody else's problems. Just, I'm good at it. But we have to be so careful. We have to be so, so careful. Am I loving the Lord as I ought to? Am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? That's what's really important. They're the important things. Looking at John is not that important in comparison, because if I'm not loving the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul and strength, if I'm not serving the Lord wholeheartedly, then whatever I'm going to say about John is probably not going to be right. You see? Now, I just want to encourage us with that this morning. I just want to encourage us that, because One of the dangers is, and you and I are all guilty of it on occasions if we're not very careful, in our Christian walk we have certain thoughts about how a Christian should live. Yeah? Guaranteed. Well, you know, if you're a Christian you wouldn't do this or you would do that. Guaranteed we all have those thoughts, sooner or later. If you haven't got them this morning, praise God, but you will. We all have those thoughts. And that can be very, very challenging and even dangerous in this sense, because some of it's just our personal preference. And that's where we have to be careful. Because you and I know that not every Christian does the same thing at the same time all the time. Correct? Correct. So, what am I going to do about that? Make sure, first of all, that I am loving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then make sure that I'm serving the Lord in the area that he's called me to serve him. Amen?
Amen.
And don't look at John and, well, have a look at John maybe, but be careful how you have a look at John. We don't want to hear the Lord say, mind your own business. Amen? Not good. Peter, mind your own business. So we have to be careful that we don't make these thoughts and allow them to sit there because, well, I don't do that, or I do that. You see, that we can do that. We're good at it. You know, I could do all sorts of things. You know, say also, I can go, I don't know that they're really walking with the Lord. Why not? Well, you know, they watch TV. And I don't watch TV. In fact, we haven't had a TV for over 40 years. I was talking about it to someone the other day about that. They're asking about it. But the danger is I make a judgment about that person because they watch TV. Now, if people want my personal opinion, I'm happy to give it to them. It's an idiot box. Someone who called an idiot box did well by naming it that. Doesn't mean everybody who watches an idiot, but they're close to it, depending on what they watch. But you understand what I'm saying? You know, we have to be careful. Well, you know, I don't watch TV. Well, praise God. But don't look at the other person who does and go, but they do. That's okay. Now, you say, is it wrong to talk to someone about it? No, it's not wrong to talk about it. But it's how we talk about it that's important, amen? We're not to talk about them from the position, I don't have a TV, how come you do? Come on. How come you do? How could you? If you were really walking with the Lord, you wouldn't have a TV. You say, why pick it on TV? It's just for the sake of it this morning. I'll try and pick on some other things. Well, I don't go to the football. I don't even watch it. How come they do? Good question. I don't understand why they do either. I can't understand for the life of me why I'd be worried about football if I was a believer. Why would I? It's all wood, hay, stubble. It all stays here. It's all rubbish. It's worldliness. But it's not wrong to exercise. Bodily exercise profits little for starters. But who cares who won the grand final 5 years ago or 50 years ago? Yeah, but I'm an ardent follower. Now, that's why I've got to be careful. All right? Because I can say, worldly lot. Thank God I'm not like that, amen. Be careful. Be careful. I mean, I remember saying sometime in the past that some Christians are schizophrenic when it comes to those things. You say, what do you mean, schizophrenic? Now, I'm not sure what schizophrenic is, but I think you have two personalities or something. Is that what they say? I don't know what it is. But and so here we are at home, and little Freddie here hits his sister. And we're not happy about it. My, we get cranky about it. We're just uptight about it. And so we should. What's Freddie doing hitting his sister? He's a bit of discipline. Pull him in the line. But then we go and watch the football and we cheer when some fella gets carried off on a stretcher because he's knocked the opposition out. Yay! How good was that? Schizophrenia. We're telling our children, you are not to be physical with your sister or your brother. You're not to do that. We are to be gentle. We are to be kind. We are to be loving. And then we go to the football. You say, I don't need to go. I just watch it. Just the same. We watch it. Yay! Look at that! The crowd's up in the air. Woohoo! Wee! Schizophrenia. But be careful. Be careful. Be careful. But they watch it. Well, they'll have to work that out with the Lord, won't they? Because we've also got a few things that God probably has to deal with us about over a period of time as well. What am I saying? We have to be careful. We have to be careful. You know, we could look at all sorts of things, I guess, and raise all sorts of things, you know, all sorts of issues. We have to make sure that if we're going to challenge someone about something, and there's a place for that, if your brother offends you, you go to him. That's quite clear in the scriptures. I'm not being judgmental, I hope, but I've got a concern. So there's a place to go, but I have to be careful that I'm not going just on the basis that I prefer something else or I don't think that's right. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We were talking Friday night at the prison, and one of the things came up was about surrendering to the Lord. And I said, sometimes God will put his finger on something in our life that needs to be dealt with. I said, our pastor of the church where we got saved, the Lord dealt with him about classical music. And he's a brilliant pianist, did all exams, university stuffs, whatever, and he could play. But the Lord challenged him about that and said, I want you to stop doing that. And as I pointed out at the prison, I said, it wasn't because it's a sin to do that necessarily. For him, it was like God saying, this has become an idol in your life and I want you to give it up. You see what we're saying? But then he has to be careful that he doesn't go around the other side and everybody listen to classical music, a bunch of backsliders. See what I'm trying to say? We have to be careful. What about John? mind your own business, Peter. Now, if there's an offence and it's a biblical offence, then we must, not should, we must go to that person. Because that's what the Bible says. You must go to them. Because they may be unaware of it, for starters. They may or may not. But we're to go to them. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful about how we approach these things. Am I walking with the Lord? Am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? Now, should we think about others? Of course we should. Let's have a look at some scriptures. Let's come to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Notice what Paul writes here, Galatians 6. And verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here's a brother who's been overtaken in a fault. Should we just ignore that? No. I thought you said we just follow the Lord. We just follow the Lord. That's true. But part of following the Lord is, if a brother's overtaken in a fault, notice what it says, ye which are what? Spiritual. And that means you're loving the Lord. That means you're serving the Lord in and where the Lord wants you to serve him. Then, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay? That's fine to do that, not a problem. You have a look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So we're not saying just ignore other people. You just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. But verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, that nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, was it wrong to look at John? Not necessarily, but it's why he looked at him that the problem was. The way he looked at him. That's where the Lord had a problem. So is it wrong to look at this person who does this or that which you don't do and you don't think's right? Not necessarily. But be careful. Be careful that you're not the judge and jury and sentencer. Amen? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You say, what if someone does go to the football or watch the football? What should I do about it? Well, if you've got a concern, talk to them about it. And then leave it there. Yeah, but they're not listening to me. Leave it there with the Lord. Amen? Is it wrong to... No, it's not wrong to look at John, but it's why and how we look at him where the problem can be. That's what we have to be careful of. Peter, let me tell you something, Peter. Just mind your own business. What I have for John... You know, sometimes you see that and it happens, you know, not just on an individual level, but it happens on church levels. Over the years, and I've been saved a while now, the number of times that there's been conflict among churches because one church decides that the other church is not doing it right. Man, do they get mad. And I guarantee the fellowship meetings this year, there'll be churches not represented there who in the past have been. And part of that is because someone's looked at them and said, they're not right. Or the others don't go because they're not right. They're who are at the meetings. It's like, what in the world? What is that to thee? follow thou me. Stop trying to tell every other church what to do. Keep your eyes on the Lord and you do what God calls you to do. Amen. That's the way to do it. And then we can enjoy fellowship with one another on a church level. That's how it ought to be. There ought not to be divisions in that sense. But there is. And so the Lord says, mind your own business. Yeah, but they've got a problem there. They're not dealing with it properly. Mind your own business. You know, I was asked one time, could I go up to our home church and be involved in something that was happening there? I said, am I expected to say something? No, just observe. I said, I won't be there. A main reason being it's a local church matter, you need to sort it out. It's none of my business. You say you could have helped, maybe, maybe not. But that's their business. You know, we don't have to run every other church in the country. We don't have to run every other Christian's life. We need to make sure, have I got my eyes on the Lord? If the Lord were to stand in there and say, do you love me? I could say, yes, Lord, I love you, and you know I do. How would you know whether you love the Lord? Are you being obedient? Are you being obedient to the Lord? Because if you love me, you keep my commandments. You see? Yeah, and then you get on and do what the Lord wants you to do. And then God will be able to use you to minister to others in a way that will be helpful and encouraging and a blessing and a challenge. Is there not everybody likes that? That's true. Not everybody liked the Lord Jesus. But may the Lord help us, amen, just to keep our eyes on the Lord, first of all. Make sure we're doing what he wants us to do. And then as he enables and guides us, let's be a blessing to others. But let's make sure that first of all, I'm right with the Lord, I'm serving the Lord, and then after that, if God wants me to talk with others, may I do that by his grace. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you once again for the privilege to look into your word. And Lord, we know what the Lord said to Peter. We don't know what Peter thought or why he looked the way he did. Well, we can only go by what the Lord Jesus said to him. But Lord, it seems there is a principle which we've looked at. We have to be careful that we keep our eyes on you and not on sorting everybody else. But, as we've said, the pendulum's not to swing the other way and get out of balance the other side. Lord, we are to be an encouragement. We are to be a blessing. We are to be a challenge to others. That's clear. But Lord, please help us to keep the pendulum where it ought to be, central, like our Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. He wasn't concerned if he had to rebuke someone, but he was certainly not slow to help people either. And Lord, help us to have that right attitude, Lord. Have a right spirit so that you don't have to say to us, mind your own business, do what I've called you to do. And so, Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books now to 366.